Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A lot of neat things going on with Bob Enyart Live and the popularity of some of our teachings and outreaches that I'll share with you as we talk about some of the news. And also a big invitation to come on out either this Thursday night in Colorado Springs or on April 25th in the afternoon at the Capitol. I will be presenting something called Focus on the Strategy 2, the sequel, at both of those events. We'll talk more about them. But this Thursday night at 7 o'clock at Fellowship of the Rockies, a church down in Colorado Springs. So before we get to that, and I have a caller who's going to help me do the invitation for Thursday night. But first, I'd like to tell you a couple things. All right. On the internet, if you search for a website or a topic, Google, of course, has taken over the world. And when you Google something, that often will show you, you know, what is the popular website for that topic or issue that you're Googling. And so companies desperately want to be in the top 10 list of Google searches when somebody searches for whatever, Italian restaurants in your city, you want to come up number one or two or on the front page. Well, the same thing is true of issues like theology or our program, Real Science Friday, that we do Friday afternoons with Fred Williams, which has become, I think, the most popular edition of Bob Enyart Live, our Friday shows. And so it's pretty cool to notice, for example, we've told you for a long time, if you Google the words God and death and penalty, God, death, penalty, or God and the death penalty, BEL comes up number one, our Bible study on that topic, out of millions, even ahead of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. And now, with Real Science Friday, it's pretty cool. Science Friday is an NPR National Public Radio program they've aired for years. And so you Google Science Friday and you get millions of hits. Well, if you Google Real Science Friday, then out of 35.4 million pages, web pages that have those three words on them, 35 million on the very first page of the top 10. Of course, the first one is NPR's Science Friday. But then four of them are the shows, are shows that Fred Williams and I have done here at KGov Radio. That's what we call our website, KGov, KGOV.com. Real Science Friday and Creation Research Society webmaster, Fred Williams. So it's a lot of fun to see that the word is getting out. And by the way, one of the ministries of Denver Bible Church and a sister website of KGov.com is TheologyOnline.com. What a website that is. What do they have, over 700,000 posts? Is it that high? Is it that high? Well, if you Google just the word theology, that's it. Just one word, theology. 38.3 million web pages have the word theology on them. And the top 10, the first page, number 8 is TheologyOnline.com. And that is exciting. I mean, some of these web pages have, you know, budgets of millions of dollars, like Wikipedia. That's number one. But to come out on the top page with TheologyOnline.com, wow, that's exciting. And congratulations to Erica Tormson and all the administrators over at TheologyOnline.com. Also to Gordon Carroll, one of the elders of Denver Bible Church, who with Eric launched TOL many years ago. What was it, 11 years ago? They've been online. Okay. And a couple other things I'd like to get to if we have the time. For example, I did an interview last week with David Kapelian, and he is an editor for WorldNet Daily and Whistleblower, and we talked about Joseph Farah, the editor of WorldNet Daily, publisher, and he did this article about this woman who shot herself in the womb the day her baby girl was to be born. She shot herself and killed the baby. And the nightmare of the story is that the judge in Virginia, Judge James Moore, did nothing to allow any prosecution of this woman. She couldn't even be tried for some lightweight charge like producing a miscarriage or procuring an abortion without a medical license. Nothing like that was she allowed to be charged with. And so, of course, Joseph Farah and countless other pro-lifers are furious, and they're furious at this judge. And so at Bob and Yurt Live, we took it a step further, like we always do, to find out who is this judge. And it turns out Republicans put this judge in office. Republicans, which seems to be the case time and time and time again. At any rate, before we get to that and some other news stories, I want to go down to Colorado Springs because I want to tell you about Thursday night. I will be there at Fellowship of the Rockies to give our presentation, Focus on the Strategy. It's actually the sequel, Focus on the Strategy 2. And boy, that is going to be fun. But before I tell you about that presentation, I have someone in the Springs who's agreed to come on the show, Mike McKee. Hey, Mike, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Oh, thanks for welcoming me, and welcome to you.
Okay. Hey, Mike, you run a museum down in Colorado Springs, and it's pretty interesting because it's the Tesla Museum, and a lot of people, you know, don't know much about Nikola Tesla. But let me give just a little bit of information about him, and then you could tell us the story behind the story, okay?
Right.
All right. Nikola Tesla was a scientist who is world-renowned, even in his own day, as an inventor, a physicist, mechanical engineer, and especially an electrical engineer. He revolutionized much of modern technology, especially regarding electricity and magnetism. In fact, he won a big battle over, it was called the War of the Currents, whether or not we would use AC or DC, whether it was alternating current or direct current.
Right.
And Nikola Tesla argued that we would use AC in our homes, in our buildings, and he won that war. And he went on, really, to make the most extraordinary discoveries. In fact, he is essential in areas like robotics and radar and remote control and even computer science and ballistics and even theoretical physics and nuclear physics. In fact, the U.S. Supreme Court credited Nikola Tesla as being the inventor of the radio. Now, hey, wasn't that supposed to be Marconi over in Italy?
Let me tell you a story about that real quick. First of all, my number's in the phone book, Bob, under Tesla Museum of Science. The story of Marconi, it's up on my website at teslamuseum.us, teslamuseum.us. This thing with Tesla and Marconi, first of all, remember that the history books in all of the public schools still say Marconi invented the radio. Mm. Now, why is that? I'm glad you asked me, Bob. It's because it has to do with a cover-up of the fact that the school doesn't want to be wrong. They want to keep it as it is with no changes. They don't care whoever created the earth. It's not important. They just don't want to change the status quo of the history and science books because it makes them look bad. That's why they still say Marconi invented the radio, even though the government in 1943 gave the credit back to Tesla. Hmm. And it was a year he died, of course, so all of the lawsuits would become invalid and they wouldn't have to pay him any money. So the AC/DC controversy was just Tesla, who was ingenious enough to come up with a concept. But here's the rest of the story that's so fascinating.
Right.
Tesla had over 700 worldwide patents. He invented the laser. He discovered the laser in the 1920s. The death ray particle beam came out of that. Of course, our government had to cover that up. That's part of the cover-up that had to happen because we didn't want Muqtada al-Sar, whatever his name is, to have the plans for it, or Russia or China.
Muqtada al-Sadr.
Yeah.
So we want, in other words, some of the technology he conceived of and invented had military use, and other, of course, of his inventions were strictly or civilian in nature.
Exactly.
And so he was a brilliant, brilliant mind, but he's really been pushed aside, almost like a mad scientist.
Well, the reason he's pushed aside is because no one wants to talk about him who's making money. The utility company doesn't want you to know because they actually overthrew all of the other electrical companies that wanted to give electricity away at a cheaper rate. With Tesla wanted to give it away for free, he figured out how to do it here in Colorado Springs with a Tesla coil in Memorial Park, named after Tesla. It's not even acknowledged except by a little plaque. People think it's a firefighter's memorial park, and it was named after Tesla, who, where he built in 1800, a Tesla coil. He lit up vacuum tubes stuck in the ground 15 to 25 miles away. He is the father of vacuum tube technology. All neon lighting was discovered by Tesla. Bulbs that would never burn out. So General Electric got a little nervous with Edison saying, wow, he's making light bulbs that won't burn out, and he's going to give it away for free. How will we make it so we're all connected? Let's burn down his lab. Okay, his lab was burned down in 1895. And is it just coincidence that his laboratory was burned down after he discovered a light bulb better than Edison's that would never burn out, hardly ever burn out, and work at high frequencies, well beyond that of the DC Edison wanted to use? But here's another interesting fact, Bob, is that Tesla described Edison as a braggart and profane at their social meetings.
You mean he described him as profane, like as in vulgar?
Yes, as vulgar, telling vulgar or profane jokes at times. So the people wanted to set with Tesla, especially the Victorian age families who thought that this was inappropriate behavior for such a well-known scientist. Now, the other fact is that Edison was agnostic. He made this comment. He said, all religions are fake. That's a comment from Edison himself. All religions are a damned fake.
Thomas Edison.
Mm-hmm. He said that he felt that Bibles should not be allowed in the public school system because it was used as a crutch, which we know it is to a certain degree, but he was condemning Christians.
Yeah, when people are lame, when they're ill, they need a physician. And so
exactly.
God is the great physician who could heal our souls of our sin and fatal condition. But go ahead.
Well, here's the secret of Tesla's power. Everyone who wants to milk Tesla for all he's worth will take his inventions and try to make a new one and not mention Tesla. That's why you don't know who he is. It's not a cover-up. It's a financial cover-up. To acknowledge Tesla means that you are infringing on his patents. The electrical coil in the car that Henry Ford stole was actually Tesla's Tesla coil idea, and he didn't give any credit. Henry Ford didn't want to give any credit to Tesla because he was friends with Edison. So Edison kept his mouth shut. They burned down his lab. Edison didn't burn it down, but friends of Edison and General Electric did. Mm. And Tesla rebuilt, setting back a few years. Tesla did the power supply for Niagara Falls. There's a statue of him there. And
Time Magazine put him on the cover on his 75th birthday, acknowledging his contribution to electrical power generation.
That was good of them because they had a lot of honor for Tesla because of Tesla's reason for doing what he did. But a lot of people don't know Tesla. They knew he was brought up in a church, but they didn't know the degree of what inspired him. Now, you have to remember, Bob, his mother couldn't read, but she could read the Bible. His father was an Orthodox Serbian minister who used the Bible to preach out of in his own language, and his mother, Tesla's father's wife, of course, happily married wife, was an inventress who liked to make household inventions to make her work easy. Mm. Tesla would help her do that, and he came up with his bladeless turbine idea when he was 14 years old. He actually experimented with the device in a stream. And now, what people don't realize, though, is that Tesla was read stories out of the Bible by his mom. We're talking about Moses, Noah, the flood, lightning, earthquakes, the ark.
Right.
Imagine being a child and being so impressed by God that you wanted to imitate that.
Wow.
So Tesla studied lightning. It was revealed to him by his desire to know the truth, the secrets of how to do that. That was his whole motivating force was, Lord, how can I make lightning and use it to help poor people all over the world? He actually made that statement. He wanted to help poor people all over the world by delivering electricity to them for free to raise their standard of living. So now we know the rest of the story, why he was betrayed, why it wasn't talked about, why he was so dangerous to some people. And so, but God blessed him, Bob. He lived to be 86 years old. He was happy. He wasn't depressed and sad like some people say that he was senile and he was eccentric. He wasn't eccentric. He was just brilliant, and he was into details. He made this comment, though, in around 1886. He made this comment, and I want to say this comment to you. He said this in his personal diary. I have some copies of his personal diary, not the originals, but copies of the copies, of course, and documents that people haven't seen. I have hundreds of Tesla coil experiments on video that no one has seen, literally. Hmm. Not even the FBI has seen it. And
hey, Mike, let me ask you this. Sure. I didn't want to interrupt that thought, but also, how about his theory of gravity that was never published?
Well, actually, it was. It's been, he has over 50,000 papers at the museum in Belgrade. They will not release all of that material because they don't want Tesla to be, his memory to be taken advantage of for money, quite frankly. He did talk about that. He actually could create an earthquake, in theory, that could crack the earth in half, and he did that demonstration in 1898 in Manhattan, shook all the buildings in Manhattan, broke glass, moved chairs with a little device attached to a beam.
Now that's what, hey, Mike, at that point, it sounds too fanciful. You know, everything up to this point, so much of it is documented even in our encyclopedias. But that sounds too fanciful.
Well, I have the first book written about Tesla from 1944, and the eyewitness account is in that book. And it's a matter of fact that thousands of people witnessed it and talked to the newspapers. It was in the papers.
Mm-hmm.
And this really did happen. And Tesla theorized how to do it. On a big scale. So now you know why Area 51 was built. It's for your security. Don't think of it as aliens and aliens from other worlds and UFOs. That's the deception of people who don't want to hear the truth. The truth is it's military in nature, and it has to be there so that the enemy doesn't have that knowledge. But
right.
Here's what
now, hey, Mike, I hope you won't mind me saying, of everything you've presented, I think a lot of it is right on, but I'd like to go on record as disagreeing with that last claim. We don't have the time to argue it out in detail here, but okay, the little bit I know about it, I don't agree with that.
Okay, well, I'm sure there's, well, in the big picture, Bob, I mean, if we're looking for spiritual discernments of things, I mean, in the end, God says that these weapons will be used at Armageddon, quite frankly. So in the sense, I disagree with myself because I disagree with you. I mean, I agree with you, but I can disagree with myself if you take what I said literally. I'm just saying that Area 51 is not about hiding aliens from other worlds, but it's about secrecy and military weapons. And in the wrong hands, they would be used in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. But God says, if you're not following me, you're already in the wrong hands. So, what Tesla said was this, in 1886, in an autobiography, he said, at this time, as at many other times in the past, my thoughts turned toward my mother's teaching. The gift of mental power comes from God, divine being, and if we concentrate our minds on that truth, we become in tune with this great power. My mother had taught me to believe all things and read stories to me, and he went on to talk about how she read stories out of the Bible to him.
Mm.
These are the things that the lukewarm or the people who don't believe in God or Jesus try to keep out of books so that kids can't see them. So the reason the public school is afraid to acknowledge Tesla in their books is because they know Tesla was brought up in a church and that's going to make him look just really good to some people.
All right. Well, very good. Mike, this is all fascinating, and I'm excited. It's an honor that you will be coming out on Thursday night to our presentation of Focus on the Strategy 2. So,
let me say this, Bob. It's good that you're there because people like you are experts in that field. I'm an expert in the field of Tesla. You are an expert in the field of getting this message out that a lot of people don't seem to want to mention. It's sort of like the Area 51 of the Bible. They want to keep it all quiet, but what we want to do is go to each level, and we want to expose it, and that's what you're doing. So people need to come up here to hear what you have to say because you spend your time and your money to work to get the truth out.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. And for the audience, for people who might not know, the Focus on the Strategy is our very popular DVD, which gave 7 lines of evidence to show that the body of Christ, including our leaders, is heading into moral relativism, that we no longer take God's law, do not murder, as an absolute, but we will support laws and judges and rulings who will compromise or violate do not murder, and we think they're actually good laws or good rulings, even when they affirm that you can kill the innocent. And so we point out that this is backfiring on the body of Christ and the pro-life movement, and we show ways of actively pursuing a strategy that will win, ultimately bring victory to the battle against the killing of unborn children. So, Mike, we will see you then at Fellowship of the Rockies at 7 o'clock this Thursday night, April 12th. Thank you so much, Mike. May God bless you.
All right, God bless you, too.
Appreciate that call. And so we will be there 7 o'clock, April 12th, this Thursday night at Fellowship of the Rockies. And registration is $30, $50 for a couple. But we don't want money to stand in the way of anyone who can't afford to be there. We have people who have said they'll help underwrite the registration for anyone who wants to go and just can't afford it. But please call us to register. The phone number here is 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. Now, I want to tell you about April 21st, Mona Sharon is coming to town, and lifecommercials.com is going to have a banquet to honor Ken and Joe Scott. And that is so exciting. Pro-life leaders who are known around the country, and they have, between them, saved literally hundreds of children from being killed by Planned Parenthood abortionists, and also have brought a number of their parents to the Lord over the years. And so they will be honored at a banquet at the Doubletree in Westminster, and that's April 21st in the evening with Mona Sharon. You could also call us to register, and that's a $50 a plate dinner. Our phone number, again, I'll give you the local number, 303-463-7789. That's 303-463-7789. You could also reach us at 800-8-NYARDS. Let's go to Fort Lupton, Colorado. John, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Good, sir.
Say, your last guest was fascinating, and it occurred to me while listening. I recall hearing a lot of what he said about 20, 25 years ago. And when he remarked about Thomas Edison and the type of character he had, that reminded me of some other stuff that I read, that he was, along with some other scientists who I can't think of at the moment, were part of the Madame Velasky movement.
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, that it was a social club as well as supposedly some religious club of where we should feel sorry for Satan or something like that. I nearly never quite caught what it was about, but that's kind of it in a nutshell. And it was just very fascinating, and I wondered about the associations that the fellow was talking about and the character he was after hearing that, and I was just really surprised. But Tesla is a fascinating, fascinating character.
Yeah, I really think so. And It's too bad. We've seen something similar happen with the MRI, that saves, you know, countless lives every year. And the inventor of the MRI, Raymond Demadian, is an outspoken creationist. And he invented the core technology of the MRI, and yet the Nobel Prize was given because the Nobel Committee is harshly atheistic and evolutionary, was given to two other scientists. So that's an example of this happening in our day.
Right, and I think that there is something to that, and it's a shame, and it's terrible. But we do see a lot of Christians that have invented some really great things also.
Well, of course. All right, so, hey, John, thank you so much for those thoughts.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate that. And so now, April 21st is this banquet for lifecommercials.com. You could go to their website, look at information for the banquet, and Ken and Joe Scott will be honored that night at that dinner, and Mona Sharon is coming into town. Please, please, if you can make it, we want to give a good showing to encourage Steve Curtis, who was on this program last week, and the lifecommercials.com effort, and to honor Ken and Joe Scott. So if you can come, please call us at 303-463-7789 or 800-8-N-YARDS. And then April 25th, Colorado Right to Life is having an event on the 40th anniversary of the first law to legalize abortion. Alan Keyes will be there, focus on the strategy. It'll be extraordinary. So please come on out for that. And also, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school.